Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news-ad-free. That's amazon.com/news-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
UBP.
Oh, wait, it's UBP, isn't it? Okay, 3, 2.
UBP, 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 UBP.
That's right, we're back. You can't stop us.
Yeah, the best of us. The Untitled Banter Pod / the Unnamed Banter Pod is back again on a Friday. We asked all of you guys for your different thoughts and questions and whatever else you've been thinking across the week. And we've also rolled together some questions that we didn't get to last week. So there's like 4 or 5 questions from last week that we didn't get to alongside all the stuff that we brought in this time. I should say that my name is Scott Tilford. It's kind of your host, but just general blabsman number one.
You're definitely the host. I'm the I'm the color commentator to an entire podcast based around color commentary.
I tell you what, I've realized, but we are going to leave this in the edit. I didn't have any headphones on, so if there's any lovely echo at the start of there, then
nah, it was fine. It was fine. Classic. That people expect this level of professional quality from our stuff. It's why they subscribe.
I think, okay, that might be a little bit crisper, a little bit clearer. Okay. So we first question from Kieran Power, who says, will this generation finally make some killer single player campaigns and forget the multiplayer or even just prioritize single player experiences like the good old days?
No. I'm sorry, mate. It's just a hard truth that we're going to have to get used to. Games as service, like the live on demand stuff. It's unfortunately going to be the future of all of the video game industry because it is infinitely monetizable. And where better else to implement this than through multiplayer games? It's like, you know, the Avengers game that recently came out that was an unmitigated disaster. If that had been a single player focused game, I bet you anything it would have been far better received.
Because
of the fact they had to focus on the multiplayer aspect of it and put it that, it came with the microtransactions. It came with the, here's the 7-year roadmap and all the other balls that come with it.
I need to run up a big list of the successes and the failures with this stuff, because I feel like Destiny launched as a failure, then became a success. Mm-hmm. And but there's so many high profile failures. Obviously Anthem, obviously the Avengers. And I feel like, and even the Division, like it went down well enough, but no one's really talking about the Division anymore. It's not like people still go back to it.
The Division 1 was so well received. Like, yeah. I mean, when it first came out, everyone was a bit like, oh, it's a bit bullet spongy and it wasn't that great. The loot wasn't that adventurous. But when it came to the close of that game, when they started releasing like the gold edition of it with all the DLC and all the stuff, everyone was raving about it. Mm-hmm. And when I played the Division 2, I was like, oh, this could be really, really good. And then I just was like, oh, I just don't care. I don't care about this. Which is a real shame.
All those games, they're fun loot grinds. And like there is a satisfaction in that. I get the whole gameplay loop thing and like it's enjoyable, but you need to absolutely nail it. And like, yeah, you're saying like they are endlessly monetizable and so many devs or so many publishers want to take the roll the dice on that stuff. But it's so easy to get it wrong. And
The only reason that we're talking about games like, say like the Last of Us and God of War so much is because that they were single player experiences that were designed to be from the off. Like there's that in God of War's case, there was not really a place to take it into a multiplayer aspect, but I bet you if they could,
well,
they, you know what I mean?
With
Ragnarok could be a multiplayer.
I really hope they do. I don't want Atreus to be like a companion, like a co-op thing. I think that would just, because I remember when they did God of War Ascension had a battle arena-based multiplayer, and it was like, what are you guys doing? I would hope that they don't do that. I do think that all the conversations around raising the price, the retail price of games, offsets the need to sort of leech people post-launch as much, because you would recoup more unit costs. But I still think that I don't trust publishers to not do that and then do the latter stuff as well.
aren't you basically just assuming then that some developers will just be like, right, lads, we have officially made too much money. Let us stop here and let's just call it a day. Do you want to clock off for lunch? Yeah, let's just do that. I don't think that's ever happened.
Let's make a nice, lovely single player adventure game and then let's just go home. Let's just let people go home.
The funny thing is that you see other companies who started out with a single player focus, then sort of dipping their toes into the multiplayer. You don't really see it the other way around, like where they've tried the multiplayer and then they'll scale it back to become more refined. Like it's almost one of those things where once you break the barrier, like a can of Pringles, once you pop the multiplayer experience, you cannot put the lid back on. You're like, oh no, these microtransactions, they're going straight to my hips.
That's a really good metaphor, because there's always some content that you never get to. There's always some treadmill thing at the bottom of that thing that you never get to, but the idea of it's there, the allure of it's there. You're sick of it
by the end of it. Like, oh, I've got some Texas barbecue flavor. Love this for the first 30 or so chips. You get down to the sort of 40th, you're like, oh, stomach's turning now.
It's too much in one go.
The MSG's burned my tongue off.
It's a bad time. One thing I was going to ask you at the beginning, because we're a bit, what's the word? We're a bit squeezed for time at the minute. Pressed for time. That's the word. I couldn't think of the word. Squeezed for time. And we're squeezing our podcast in to the next 26 minutes. So we've got 26 minutes left. And in what a rush it was, I didn't ask you how you were doing, Jules Gill. How are you feeling?
Hey, I'm doing absolutely fine at the moment. I have a little bit of news, which is like adjacent to What Culture, but it's all been approved, so it's fine. Mm. I am going to be a guest writer for a board game called Bardsung. I'm really excited about that. I've never actually done anything like this before. I've done some like DMing stuff and for Dungeons and Dragons, but I have never written my own like adventure with the mechanics of another board game.
Can you give us a quick tease as to a character name you've come up with?
Yeah? Yes, I can. I can give you two character names, actually. Let me get out my thing, because I've actually written down the other one this morning. I woke up this morning and I was like, oh, that is actually really fun. So the quest giver is going to be called Jormund Ek, which is obviously the pun of your mum and egg. And the villain of the piece is going to be Vought Bread, which is
brilliant.
Wet bread.
I thought that. I didn't know if we were retiring the wet bread, but no, he's back.
No, definitely not. Definitely not. So look forward to that very soon.
Fantastic. Okay, so next question from Jacob.
How are you, by the way?
Oh, I'm good, man. I don't know if I told you about this. This is such a deviation, but we did cover this. We can maybe get to this in a bit. What someone asked us about stuff we regret buying. And I don't regret buying this, but I did just buy the LG CX TV, which is over £1,000.
What are you doing? I bought another TV.
I gave in. I've got rid of my old one.
Do people at home know about the story of your TVs?
I don't know. I rotated through three separate TVs last Black Friday because I gave in like a moron and bought one last Black Friday. And then it didn't work. So I had to go back at another one. That one didn't work. So I went back and I got another one. That one did work.
Right. That to me, they were all the same brand as well. That would have been like, that is not the TV for me. If the first one gets home, it doesn't work. Second one gets home, it doesn't work. I'd be like, no, this is it. I attach it, get in the bin, whatever it is.
But like, at that point, I'd spent too much time. You know, it's like waiting in the queue to get in somewhere. Like, you're either going to give up or you're going to wait it out and see what's at the end of the queue. And I needed to know what was at the end of the queue. And what was at the end of that queue was just 4K resolution that barely looked any different. But
it was 4K resolution that you then used to play your N64 on.
Yeah, which... I got an upscale of it. Mario 64 in HD is a beautiful thing. I was going to say, that's how I'm doing. I'm doing slightly insanely. I got the LG CX, which is like over £1,000. It's fluctuating a bit because it's Black Friday. But I gave in and got that because it's like the ultimate gaming TV. It does 120 frames a second. Oh my God. Titanfall 2 in 120 frames a second, 4K HDR. I just sat there. I played it till 3 a.m. I mean, I barely got to sleep. That's brilliant.
So you had an early night then?
It was the only one for me. But that thing is incredible. So I've just been re-experiencing all the games, and like the Series X does auto HDR, auto, like, you know, bringing everything up to 120 frames a second. It's a bit of a rush, but
The fact that you and I have basically gone on two almost diametrically opposed routes in life. Like, you've gone very tech heavy. You're very Cyberpunk 2077.
Ooh, yeah.
Whereas I am Cyberpunk the tabletop version, where I've gone back archaic and I'm like pen and paper, please.
But honestly, yours is like nice and peaceful, and you're sort of thinking things through, and you're painting figures, and you're like calculating what you're going to do. I'm this crazy blur of picture settings, resolution settings, trying to understand every possible permutation of what the new consoles can do, and having no idea about it, just throwing money at it. Just like, well, maybe if I throw $1,000 in this direction, it'll just work better. Like, I hate the Josh Brown influence, because it's him. He's him going, get this, it'll do X, Y, Z.
Does it all with that thing of like, well, you know.
Yeah, well, you know. Maybe. And it's just that whole, that tech thing of like, oh, if you just chase this nebulous idea of better, just keep throwing money in this direction. And the TV I just got, you know, the price of like three cars worth, it can't even do 8K. So I'll have to get another one in another few years anyway. So good. Anyway, a question from Jacob Wright, who starts by saying UBP, UBP. UBP. He says, now with Christmas around the corner, Merry Christmas to us too and the whole What Culture and What Culture Gaming crew. Thank you very, very much. What game would you love to have a Christmas-themed expansion? His would be Doom Eternal crossover, where Doom Guy is Santa, which is brilliant. To be
honest, that'd be amazing. So what? He instead of his shotgun, he's shooting like candy canes to get into people and impale them into the wall.
When we saw this come through on Twitter, I just love the idea of him giving out presents, but when you open it, it's just a shotgun. It's just a shotgun to the face. He just gives them all to the demons. But I don't know what I would extend in that way, really. Something that has character, anyway.
Yeah, it's a tough one to answer because like trying to just insert a Christmas themed thing into a game that what am I playing at the moment?
I'm gonna go Shovel Knight. I mean, I just my default is Shovel Knight. Shovel Knight has never done a an in-game themed thing. They've done plenty like artwork around Christmas, but little Shovel Knight with his little hat on with maybe
Tree
a little
Knight.
Bit of, yeah, or Bauble Knight or some sort of like shovel
Santa
with a little
Knight.
Bit of yeah, a little bit of winter snow on there.
Krampus Knight. So he's evil. You've got to like defeat him.
Big big tree topper night.
I'd like to see it have a crossover with Mortal Kombat 11, so that you get like a Santa and his elves, and they're just like ripping you apart.
Oh, they might do that. The amount of banter that is in that game now, like I love. It's the best time to be a Mortal Kombat fan. Like in a ridiculous. Have you seen they added Christopher Lambert? You know the original Raiden.
Yeah, I was blown away. They've added in the same for Sonya Blade and for Johnny Cage. Yeah. I was well, they've actually got those voice actors back to do that. Like, and also with the Rambo thing, is that actually Sylvester
Stallone? It's
Stallone,
yeah.
That blew my mind as well.
It's great.
Because he's lazy as hell in his delivery. But I was like, it does sound very much like
but like, I was playing this all on, Times of Flat Circle the other day. And you make it so Rambo goes up against Robocop or goes up against Terminator, and they have like unique dialogue back and forward. It's just, it's so good, man. And like having Stallone talk to Christopher Lambert. Christopher Lambert sounds very old now, but it's still definitely him.
Bless him.
He's a very throaty man. But anyway.
I must trial you by combat.
he doesn't do the little laugh, which I know they did more of in the sequel.
Disappointing.
But I want like a throaty laugh. Next question from Sawyer. Now we do get this one quite a lot, so I'm going to modify it a little bit. He said, going into the next generation, is there any franchise that deserves a revival? I feel like we did that last week or the week before.
Ape Escape.
But then he said, as a variation to that, or an IP be given to a new studio. For example, giving Mafia to Rockstar. So I don't know if there's something that you think a particular studio could revitalize. I think we might have had that as well.
I think that the Time Splitters franchise should be given to DICE who are the two developers on and off at Call of Duty? You've got
Raven and Treyarch and stuff like that.
Treyarch and who's the other? Insomnia? Is that the other one?
No, it'll be...
Why can't I remember?
There's a few different ones.
Yeah, either way, like
You mean Infinity Ward?
That's the one. Yeah. I'd give it to one of those because either if you gave it to DICE and you because even though we got to look past all of the fact that they're owned by EA and obviously all the Battlefront like horrible stuff that went on with that, if you look at their quality of shooting, it would actually lend itself very well to that. However, if you want the more arcadey, fast paced, over the top, and crazy nature of it all, if you gave it to a company like id Software. To do like their Doom hyperspeed version of it, like
a high time splitters. Yeah,
that'd be amazing. Or you gave it to Infinity Ward to do their like over the top like Twitch shooter thing. That would be bloody brilliant.
Because I've been playing so much Titanfall, and I'm just I might as well be kneeling on my carpet worshiping Respawn Studios. Like I would if Respawn did a time splitters game, I think they would give it too much aerial stuff, wall runs, or there's some sort of more dynamic movement that might take it away from what time splitters is. But yeah, something like that. I think in another addendum to his question, he said if you could launch your own DC gaming universe or MGU, what studios would you attach to different heroes? I guess obviously you mentioned Insomniac before, who do already have Spider-Man. So I guess if we were going to do attach to a studio,
Platinum Games, over the top, insane, utterly crazy. They are perfect. They did Wonderful 101, and what a fantastic superhero. And before that, they were Clover Studios, did Beautiful Joe. They've done superheroes
and
over the top
chainsaw.
Cards. Oh yeah, exactly. So put them with like I'd say that they're probably more Marvel than DC in terms of how they present themselves as a company. Like a little bit silly, can take a bit more of a joke at themselves and over the top and cartoony. That would be brilliant. But if it had to be one character, I mean, the obvious one is to say Deadpool because he's very easy to write.
I was thinking Deadpool,
because
yeah.
he breaks all of the sort of like video game conventions and walls. But if I'm going to go with my true heart of hearts, Squirrel Girl, mate, it'll be
Marvel?
Amazing. She is Marvel, yeah.
Okay. I barely know Squirrel Girl.
Well, this thing, I only know a bit of it because of like talking to Ewan and Zoe about it back in the day, but she kicks ass.
I like the idea of, because my mind went to like different power sets and what different teams could do with that. And I think if you gave, because I love Control. I don't know if you've played Control this year.
Yeah, I have. It's amazing.
Whatever it
was. Yeah, last year.
Last year, and the whole idea in that of like picking up any part of the environment and launching it around reminded me of like PsyOps, the second sight. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you could do a really cool villainous Magneto game using, I don't know if Remedy be the ones to do it, but they've got the tech right.
Yeah,
and just bending parts of the world, like wrenching like a girder out of the wall and then throwing it at someone or whatever. Mm. I would take stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, Insomniac Spider-Man is like the absolute peak at the minute, and I feel like Rocksteady's Batman was up there, but they've moved the hell away from it. We were mentioning before about games as a service. I think that's what Killer Suicide Squad's going to be.
Yeah.
Which looks I would
love to see more superhero games on the market, just from different developers, giving a chance to different people. But probably not going to see that for a while outside of the Suicide Squad.
Yeah, give Sony Santa Monica Thor and just carry over God of War's hammer.
That would be perfect. That would be perfect.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact? You can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Next question from Michael Patterson. Caramel, strawberry, or peppermint?
What is that the question? Just on what, though?
Like, I got this gut feeling. My gut feeling is peppermint.
Caramel.
Oh, why?
Well, caramel is brilliant. You know, on desserts, Caramac bars, hardened caramel into like sort of like those shards. Oh, I'd make my mouth water just thinking about it.
I'll tell you what I've discovered. I don't know if you've ever had biscotti. You know, the old biscotti. One of them is a dog, and one of them is the food stuff. But the food stuff one, you can melt that. You can make it into like a syrup, and then you can put it on stuff. I just didn't
go down Tesco's, mate. They do it in a spread.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Get the spread, and then you and microwave it, and then it's a lovely little liquid, and then you put it on cakes and stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, I was literally shaking from the sugar overdose, but it's really good.
It's quite a rush.
It's a full. I recommend it.
But why peppermint?
Because it's like fresh, and I like how it's more identifiable. I don't know. I just feel like the stuff that I've had with peppermint, I've never had a bad peppermint experience. Whereas
so
I have had bad caramel.
Freshens, you want to sweet the freshens of the breath
a little bit. I just like those after eight things. I don't know if they're peppermint.
Oh, they're good. They're really good.
Caramel, I've always found to be a little bit disappointing, but it's hard to put a finger on it. I just kind of think it's a little bit claggy and a little bit, I don't know. Viscous, a little bit too.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Like it can be, but the when it's good is real good.
Next question from StarkHunter49. Do you think that after the failure of Avengers, we'll see a break from live service games like Avengers and Anthem? Kind of similar to what we had before, but I guess quickly, no, they're still going to chase this stuff.
I guess to try and expand on what I was saying before, it is so easy for a company to profit through microtransactions using games as live service. And it's encouraging them to develop in such methods because of the fact it allows you to hook a player base in and keep them coming back day in after day, week after week, mm-hmm. by using rewards, events, and structures like that. Like, it's instead of developing five different games, one of which might land, putting your eggs into one basket in this sense actually makes sense for bigger companies to do. Like, I'm not saying that it's the way that we should be moving. We should definitely be spreading out rather than just like homogenous experiences. Mm. But as it stands, if you want to make your money, there's a good chance that you're going to make it back by hooking people in with this sort of stuff.
True. I do hope that the sheer amount of money that Avengers just lost, it was like 50 million pounds, 7 billion yen and 67 billion.
That's
it hasn't even recouped its dev costs. Like, most games will at least make their money back and then maybe not make a massive profit, but this thing hasn't even recouped its dev cost. So you would kind of hope that, I mean, one thing I said in the news video yesterday was that I'm quite proud of people of a mass populace saying like, actually, we don't want this. We're not going to fall for it's the Avengers, tick that box. It's an action game, tick that box. Like, no, like most gamers, if you're identifying as a gamer, you have a console, you're invested in this medium, you're educated enough to say no to this sort of stuff. And I'm quite proud of people saying, of them not getting a victory over such a soulless attempt at a product. Glad of that. Next question from Laughing Sunbro, great name. In the zombie apocalypse, who from what culture survives the longest? And do they save Colin Salmon?
Oh, right. Well, no, Benroy dies trying to protect Colin Salmon.
He makes a mad dash for it, yeah.
Yeah, he sees him and we're just like, you know that woman in the opening scene of Dead Rising? She like sees the dog outside and she just goes like, she's like, Fluffy, Fluffy, and she opens the door. That's Benroy, but with Colin Salmon. He spots him. He's like, oh, it's Colin Salmon. So I'll say he lets all the zombies in. That's the problem.
I don't know what we do in terms of, I reckon I could take a few of them, but I think I'd get too carried away with that. And I would be like, oh, I'm fine. You guys go ahead. I'll take care of these guys. I'll whatever. And I'll just get eaten alive because I'll take too much on.
Well, Owsley and Rich get eaten because they've got their headphones on and they're editing, so they don't understand. They don't hear the zombies coming up behind them, and they're just very, very invested with the PC banter that's going on there.
Josh is just like, oh, but if this is what we're doing, this is what we're doing. Josh just does the Jesus Christ pose and lets them take him.
Yeah, but they don't eat him. That's the joke. So he falls back, and then he's like, oh, right, okay then. And he just like he lives his regular life. He is not impacted in this at all. So he probably survives like until
he buys another TV. He's on the way home. He gets another TV.
Yeah, exactly. Cleary, probably, I reckon that Cleary would just be laughing from his flat because he lives in a very high up flat.
he'd be at the top
and he'd be doing the old trying to capture the water on the roof with the buckets that they do in 28 Days Later, but not really getting the concepts down for it.
I think Kirsten might survive the longest because I feel like inside, like, she's very like gentle and friendly and calm, but I feel like when she needed to snap into zombie mode, she'd be ruthless as hell.
Plus, she's very, very used to having to deal with flesh hungry creeps trying to get a piece of her. So yeah, I think she'd do all right.
Yeah, just sort of goes full on Mia Jovovich in the middle of Resident Evil.
I reckon that me and you would do all right.
Yeah.
I think that my natural ability to try and calm a situation down may not work with the zombies. I mean, it's like, all right, do you really want to eat brains?
Yeah.
Is this what you really want to do?
Sit down, have a word.
It'd be the classic thing. You remember when they capture Homer Simpson, they knock on his head when the zombies take it open. It's like, there's nothing inside his head. They move on. That'd be me. And I'd just be like, all right, cheers, man.
We'll just play them the new, the What Culture Gaming ditty, which is a lovely little ditty. Not that it's that new anymore, but you know, it might keep them cheerful. Next question from Mikey CFC. If there were two games you could combine to make an almighty game hybrid, what would they be? His are Uncharted and Resident Evil. Which I guess would be a more adventurous Resident Evil.
That'd be kind of like if Days Gone was what it wanted to be.
That's actually, Days Gone is pretty much Uncharted meets Resident Evil. Like, there's not that many levels that are very vertical, but the movement is closer to it. You can clamber up some stuff.
Damn. So I did an article a while back on ideas that are video game ideas that are being left on the table. You talk while I look for it because there's some really good examples here.
Well, let me tell you about the beauty of Titanfall 2 in 120 frames a second. Because for the longest time, I was waiting. I was like, I bought this stupid TV and I set it up and I was like, oh, I'm waiting for it to like wow me. And it's not that it wasn't. Like, it is an OLED, it's 55 inches, whatever. And then I was looking at all the different settings and there's a setting in there. And I guess this is advice to everybody who ends up doing the same stupid thing that I just did. If you give in to Black Friday sales, if you go to the picture settings and you faff with all the different picture settings, different gamma settings, everything else, go into dynamic tone mapping. And turn that on, because that is the awesome button. That's the awesome switch. Once you've flicked that on, everything kicks into life. Everything looks amazing. It balances all the dark stuff. Exploring the underground of the prison in Demon Souls, where it's like, it's quote unquote pitch black, but you've got like this big blood moon in the sky and flames licking at your heels. Oh. And that thing, I mean, Titanfall 2 is a whole other level because there's 120 frames a second online. That game is just one of the best games of the generation. But once I got the picture settings sorted, that's when I was like, okay, I get it. I get what this is. This is it. This is the thing. This is the tea. And okay. And I drank that tea and it was very nice.
I have found the article. So two on here that stand out as very, very good answers to the question.
Mm-hmm.
Bushido Blade, but in VR.
That's so oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you basically only get like one strike against your opponent, but you're like waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
And the other one was...
A defense-heavy sword game would be great.
GTA 5 meets Jurassic Park. That would be amazing.
That in a thumbnail a while ago, and I can't picture that. I just because Jurassic a park is inherently closed, whereas GTA.
Just think of like you're on an island, and mm-hmm. it's not like the sort of survival games of yore. It's like you're here with mates, have some fun, see some dinosaurs, kill a T-Rex, whatever. Like
maybe let one out the paddock for like a bit of a hunt or something. Because even in the Jurassic World game, you can test your security by letting the T-Rex out, and then you've got to deal with it.
I mean, I quite like it if they actually just did like evolve better, but with the Jurassic Park idea where one of you is like the T-Rex and the other survivors are like just trying to run through a forest or jungle. That would be very cool.
It'd be kind of like a realistic Horizon, or maybe like a more grounded Monster Hunter.
That the problem with asymmetrical multiplayers is that there's always this idea of you trying to defeat the one player who is the bad guy or like trying to do that. But like if you make that one player unstoppable and mm-hmm. all the other team has to do is just escape, like survive for as long as they can, like mm-hmm. a time limit thing, then that for me would be great, because then it's just like a constant thing of like you are like hiding every chance you get and this massive T-Rex stomping after you.
I want to play as the T-Rex as well. I just haven't mm-hmm. played as that many dinosaurs in games. The original Jurassic Park game ironically did let you do that.
The closest that we've been to the best looking one was the PlayStation 1 demo disc, which had the demo of the T-Rex that you could walk around in infinite void.
They bring that back in Astro's Playroom on the PS5.
Do they actually?
Yeah, oh my God. That whole game is one living love letter to the history of PlayStation. Oh, it's so fun. Cool. When you get your PS5, playing Astro is just phenomenal.
Yeah, in 3 years time.
It'll be a lovely... Well, at least they'll have fixed the bugs by then. Maybe the storage will be cool. Question from Robert Green. We're running out of time. We have about 5.5 minutes left, I think. Okay. Robert Green, he says, so after years of turning to colleagues, friends, and family, I now turn to you two as experts. Where is the line between boneless wing and nugget? Remember, gents, your answer is final.
Is there one? Does there need to be a distinction?
Apparently so. I mean, I guess he's been on, this is his life's research. Maybe he's doing a dissertation on it. I think it is around the shape. You can't have a boneless wing that is a nugget shape that is more rounded, and you couldn't call something a nugget if it was a wing.
Yeah. I think the other thing as well is that a nugget is just reconstituted whatever of the chicken, whereas the wing, most definitely a wing, therefore would have different sort of layers of muscle tissue, so would have like a different texture to it.
Yeah, the puree would be different. I don't eat enough boneless wings to know what their texture is like, but it's like, do they just strip a wing and then mulch it together into the shape of another wing?
I have no idea. Like, again, as a vegan, I'm just a completely foreign concept where like people are like so unable to eat chicken on the bone. Although...
Oh, I can't do that. I don't like it. I can't do it. Not on the bone, no.
I can imagine you with a good old ham hock, like out of the old Flintstones cartoons.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. When I was growing up and there was that and Tom and Jerry, when Tom would just get like a big old chicken drumstick and I was like, oh, that looks amazing. And then I got one and I was like, oh, this is horrible.
Absolutely a massive lie that all children's TV shows have taught us throughout the age is that steaks are just those red T-bone ones with the white fat there. That's uncooked. That is just literally not okay.
Some people do love having it raw, like Gollum style, raw and rigging.
I know, but just that there's having it raw and there's it like he's having it slightly warmed.
It's not for me. Like I said, we're slowly running out of time, but we'll fit some more stuff in.
Okay,
One from Joshua Adam Roth. Who would win in a TLC match? Quite similar to the zombie apocalypse, but I get your tactics would be different.
What, I mean, you?
I guess maybe between me and you. Yeah, who would win in a TLC match between us? I wouldn't get up the ladder. My asthma would kick in.
Well, we'll do so. We've got 4 minutes or so left. Let's plan out this match from start to finish. So what's your entrance theme coming into the ring?
When I did this as a project in high school, we had to think of entrance music, and I used Limp Bizkit's Boiler. So I'm going to have Limp Bizkit's Boiler.
WWE's favorite band, Limp Bizkit. Big shout out to them.
Massive.
I'd come down to Dream Theater's Panic Attack, but it would be the full 8.5 minute track before I even emerged. So the crowd would be hating it by the time. As I come down, I'd be like, final note comes in, yeah, and I'd come down and I would do the classic Razor Ramon thing of walking underneath the ladder, you know, to show that I'm not afraid of falling off of it. But I'd not gauge it right, so I'd knock the ladder over as I went past it.
I was going to say, would you jump and do, like, you jump on the ropes, you do the whole, do you do a Triple H, do you spit some water over everybody, do you pull back on the ropes, Lesnar style, set some fireworks off, what do you do?
That is a good one. I think that I would do the, you know, the Ric Flair flop.
Right.
I do that, but when I hit the floor, the fireworks would then go off. So it'd be like, bang, like that.
I always wanted to try and attempt, like, just either stepping over them, like Big Show or Kane, or just doing...
But not being tall enough.
But not being tall enough, and just sort of, like, bounding on it, like, just when you sort of get stuck as a child when you try that. And
would you have, like, a chant going down? You know, like, Daniel Bryan's when he's just like doing yes
just no.
Like egg
In terms of match tactics, I always, when I played the old SmackDown games, because I'm not a wrestling fan and like anymore, but I used to live and breathe this stuff in the 2000s. Here Comes the Pain, when they introduced like the concerto finishes, brilliant game. I would be going for chair stuff. I would be going for sheer light attacks, because it's like light, heavy and special. So it's like chairs are light attacks, I guess. Tables. No, picking up a ladder versus picking up a table. Using a table is kind of like a finisher.
Well, using the table, I always feel like it's so unwieldy. Whereas at least if you've got the ladder, you can do the classic spot of put it over your head and do like the Benny Hill spot where you just knock people over, they get back
just
and
windmill.
Walk into the... Yeah, I mean, like, you dizzy yourself out by doing it, but it could be a good laugh.
I think one thing is, I think you would win, because in any TLC match, usually when someone climbs up the ladder, they're supposed to do that whole thing where they put on a show of being like, oh, I can't get it, I just can't reach it, and I've got my hand on it, but I can't do it. I think you in the moment would be like, no, I'm going to win. I'm going to get this thing. Yeah. I want this.
Just push you over, walk straight up there, like the crowd's like, oh, I'm looking forward to this 15, like 30 minute barnstorm of a match. I'm just like, that's damn.
That's mine now.
Right, it's done. Yeah, okay.
I would take a Jeff Hardy style WrestleMania 17 Swanton bomb into four different tables. I'd go out with a bang.
So that's where we're at. So the final of the matches, we're both absolutely heaving and sweaty, and we've done like landed Easing. Blow after blow. You've gone through the Spanish announce table. I've gone through the regular one. You've like power bombed me through it or whatever. And we get up there. You're climbing up the ladder. You push me off, and the crowd is like, "Go, Scott! You can do it! You can do it!" And you look around, and you just go, "Nah." You shake your head. You point down to me, and you get ready that leg drop that's been building and building. You are gonna drop the leg. The leg of Damocles is hanging over me. You jump. God. He jumps, but I roll out the way. Oh, he's in his spine. He's in his spine. He's compacted a disc. He's
I'd
out.
Be so
he's
done. Gone. I'd be so gone. I would take the rest. I mean, I haven't done anything physical in like 7 months or whatever. So me, I would leap off the ladder for the sake of like, this is going to be a big deal.
Yeah.
And then just completely bollocks myself on the floor, but then just lie there quite satisfied that I don't have to get up anymore. And I'm
just like, just go to bed. There. That's it. Just tuck him in, lads.
Just cart me off. Get the meds in.
And out of a sign of respect, I'd break the Twitch championship, because I'm assuming that's what we're fighting for. Remember that belt? Yeah.
In an empty
break
warehouse.
It in half, and then I'd give you half of it, and then I'd lift up your hand, and we'd go out celebrating as champions.
Just me, like a half drunk man in the corner, just like, he's done it. He's there.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And then everyone would just be chatting like, UBP, UBP, UBP.
Speaking of UBP, this has been another Untitled Banter podcast, or whatever the hell we decide to call it. So thank you all very much for sending your questions across. Anything we didn't answer this week, we will roll into next week, and no doubt we'll ask you for whatever updated thoughts you have towards the end of next week as well. And for now, I've been your host, Scott Tailford, joined by Jules Gill.
Thank you very much for having me.
And we'll catch you guys next time. UBP
Bye.
And goodbye.
UBP, UBP, UBP,
UBP.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.